It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 what's up, man? It's your man Tony Wiggins here with a Thursday edition of Locked On Jaguars. I got to let you guys know that we appreciate you guys making us your first listen. And we also want you to know that today's show is brought to you by the folks, the good folks, over at an institution. And that institution is McDonald's. It is the unofficial community center of a lot of neighborhoods, especially the one that I grew up in. And we like to give a big thanks to McDonald's, who has probably been serving the communities since 1965. We got a crossover edition today with Eric Crocker, Big Croc, and my man Brian Peacock from Locked On 49ers, as the 49ers are scheduled to visit the Jacksonville Jaguars here very soon. In fact, Sunday, like I was going to say, like 2 days, maybe it's 2.5 days from now or three by the time you hear this. And hopefully the Jaguars will give them a little bit of a welcome and don't let them out until they're ready for them to leave. And we'll see if that happens on this Sunday. We're going to talk to Eric Crocker and Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers about some of the matchups. And you're going to hear some of the key things that they have going on with the 49ers. And I'm going to let them know some of the key things that we have going on here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So without much ado, we're going to be able to get to that here in just a second. As I let you guys know that tomorrow's show, we'll do a bit of a Fan Friday show tomorrow as well to try to get you guys engaged like we always do, to see if you guys have any questions for me. So we'll do that on Friday. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to let you guys know that we got the Peacock and Williamson crossover coming up with Locked On 49ers. We've got two good segments for you. So stand by and hang in there. But I'm going to tell you right now, guess who's back and bigger than ever? That's right. BetOnline is back and bigger than ever, and you can get you some money. BetOnline.ag is where you need to go to make sure you get paid properly. You can bet on football, basketball, UFC, any of your favorite Vegas casino games, and you can do it all with a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's right, the promo code is LOCKEDON for you to receive your welcome bonus. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. Make sure you jump in on BetOnline and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. What is up with a crossover edition? This is Tony Wiggins of Locked On Jaguars, and I'm joined by the fellas from the 49ers, Peacock and Crockett. How about that? Is that a Crocker, rather? Is that how you say it, man? I want to make sure I get everything right. Eric Crocker, big dude, man. I thought I was the bully of Locked On until Crocker came around. Then all of a sudden, man, I had to step aside because he took on the whole Philly boo-birds up there and my man Brian Keacock. What's going on with y'all, man? Y'all good?
Oh, fantastic. Yes, yeah, big win for the 49ers. So pumped here and ready for a cross-country trip to Jacksonville. It's going to be an interesting one. Hopefully not a letdown game for those 49ers.
No doubt about it. I have to remind you guys that this episode of this crossover edition of Locked On Jaguars and Locked On 49ers is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty and affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. So we give a big thanks to McDonald's. Let's get right into it, man. Let's not bury the lead. Let's not get around it. 49ers coming off of a huge victory. The Jaguars playing better, but still not quite there. Do you guys envision this as sort of a trap game?
No. Well, the 49ers aren't good enough to call any game a trap game. Now, I do think when you looked at this game before the season started, you would assume, oh, okay, you look at Jacksonville Jaguars, they're rebuilding, you know, whole new coaching staff, young rookie quarterback. That's a game the 49ers should win. Now, I think people are still viewing it that way now, but the 49ers aren't the 49ers team we were expecting them to be coming into this season. So trap game, I wouldn't go that far, but I do think that this is a game right that most people – you know, expect the 49ers to win and win handily, especially when you look at the line right now. Last time I checked, it was like, you know, 6.5 in favor of the 49ers.
I will say it's the exact wrong time for a team to want to play the 49ers, because I think they found a little bit of their mojo this week, and they had a closed door meeting, we found out, with some key veteran players and Jimmy Ward and Eric Armstead and Fred Warner. And They're not the type of crew to be in each other's faces and you know, grabbing helmets and grabbing face masks and yelling at each other's faces. But this closed door meeting seemed to do something. And they came out with a lot more vigor against the Los Angeles Rams. It's in the team that had lacked an identity all season long. Seems like they did find something on Monday Night Football, which is probably bad news for the Jaguars and the rest of the 49ers schedule.
Well, I'll give you a heads up right now. It's bad news for the Jaguars because of two things. One, they really do a lot of good things scheme-wise. It's simply every time the Jaguars play the 49ers, like when they were good in 2017, they came out and got schemed up by Shanahan. The other thing is they have a form of kryptonite for the Jaguars, and what that is a tight end. Tight ends have killed this team through the years and through this year. And specifically, the teams that they've beaten, the two teams that they've beaten, Mike Gesicki actually got off when they played the Dolphins, and the Jags still had a successful game. But Knox was out when they beat Buffalo. And I think I go back and look, and that was the key to the game. You guys getting George Kittle back healthy and then figuring out how to use Debo the proper way with Garoppolo, it really protects him, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's got a couple of security blankets there, Garoppolo does, and those two guys who do so much for him after the catch and do a ton of work. My question for you with that, Tony, would be when it comes to the Jacksonville defense, like Miles Jack, really athletic player, Ke'Lavon Chaisson, really athletic linebacker. Is it the safeties? Is it a linebacker problem? Is it a scheme problem? Why has the middle of the field been a problem for the Jaguars?
That's a very, very good question. A lot of things were a problem for a while with them. So they seemingly got it fixed, with the exception of the game that they played a few weeks back in the Great Northwest against Seattle. But they played really well and they beat the Dolphins. Then they had a clunker against Seattle. They held Josh Allen in Buffalo to 6 points. And then last week they played extremely well again and almost won that game after getting off to a slow start offensively against Carson Wentz and the Colts. They haven't had an identity that you can really put a finger on it, but I tell you who has played well, Josh Allen. And this is going to be funny to you guys. Josh was he was non-existent, and I tweeted out, and you guys told me he was better than Joey Bosa 2 years ago. Nick Bosa. And all of a sudden, I got into an argument on Twitter with a couple of people, and since then, I still don't think he's better than Nick Bosa. But since then, he has played lights out, and he's looked like the Josh Allen who deserved to be the 7th overall pick. He's a monster right now.
I really liked Josh Allen coming out in the draft, and Croc, I think you did too. And there was some arguments on 49ers Twitter for sure, and there was
that a was big a heated one.
Yeah, there was a big group of Josh Allen fans that thought maybe he was better than Nick Bosa, and it was like, no, I bet 31 teams, aside from the Arizona Cardinals who drafted Kyler Murray, would take Nick Bosa at the number two spot if they were the 49ers. Like, that was one of the easier picks we've seen in a while in the NFL draft. And there wasn't even another quarterback to take there for a quarterback needy team. Like, it was Nick Bosa. Clearly, that's the guy you take. And I like Josh Allen a lot, and I still do. And maybe there's more there for him. But I was actually surprised how little he had done early on in his career, because I thought he was going to be a problem in the league.
First year, he had 10 and a half sacks. But he also had Ngakoue and big kid.
Calais Campbell.
Calais, yeah, I always do that. This time of night, man, my memory goes blank. But Calais Campbell and Ngakoue on the other side. We have another rookie here, and I'm glad Eric's on, because him and I try to ask Will Blackman all the time, and he doesn't answer me. But DBs. We have a rookie DB in Tyson Campbell. I wanted them to take Asante Samuel. Urban and the crew here go for size. They have an athletic profile of guys, which I think if they keep doing that, at some point it's going to get them in trouble, because you're going to pass good players. But Tyson Campbell is big and physical, can run like the wind, has a problem finding the ball when it's in the air and locating that. Give me your expertise, Croc, and tell me, why is that way for some guys? He's a five-star recruit, big, physical, can run. It just seems like when the ball goes in the air, he starts to look like a dog chasing an ice cream truck. So why is it like that, and can it be fixed? And what is it about some guys that have that trait?
That's well, why it's know, not right. You're right, Croc.
No, I hate when people say that. Tyson Campbell, actually, funny little backstory real quick. You know, he was a guy at, Heritage High School out in Florida. He was in the same secondary as Patrick Surtain. It was him, Patrick Surtain, Marco Wilson, who's starting for Arizona, and Anthony Schwartz. He's a receiver in the NFL now, just was drafted, I believe, by the Browns, but they were the starting secondary at high school all at the same time. Tyson Campbell in college at Georgia was one of the most technically sound corners I've seen. Matter of fact, between him and Patrick Surtain, they were the two best corners at the line of scrimmage with, you know, being patient, trusting their speed, trusting their technique, and using their length. I thought they did a tremendous job at that. If there was one area where Tyson Campbell struggled, it was at the catch point. We saw it multiple times against Florida. And you can say, well, you know, it was Kyle Pitts and it was Grimes, you know, and they went up top on him. But there were other games as well where I'd see just at the catch point, for whatever reason, he'd be in good position, but then just struggle to make the play. And I haven't watched him as much in the NFL. You know, Jaguars haven't been this team just on national television every week. But if you're telling me that's something that he's still kind of consistently struggling with, it's weird, but I guess understanding, I those are things that you just have to continue to rep and figure out how he can get in better positions sooner to find the ball. But right now, it seems like that's something that he's having a tough time with.
One thing I'll say before we step aside, the last 2 weeks he's played well. And what Joe Cullen and the crew have done is, and it's probably been because they haven't played a bunch of running quarterbacks. Usually, I learned this from my man, Corn Dog, Michael Cornegay. He told me, you're going to play man-to-man, but the problem with playing man-to-man is if you're scrambling quarterbacks, your back's to him, right? So Campbell's having a problem finding the ball. They've almost played like a man off now, where he's close enough, he's not bailing, but he sees ball all the time. And the last 2 weeks, he's actually played well. They haven't really caught him with his back to the quarterback because the pass rush has been working. So maybe that's something that we'll look forward to. All right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let these guys grill me here in just a second here on a crossover edition before we turn it over to them. I got to let you guys know about the GetUpside app. The GetUpside app is the absolute truth because you can save up to 25 cents per gallon per fill up every time you use this app. So you download the app in the Play Store or Google Play. And what happens is you put in a promo code touchdown. Once you put the promo code in, guess what happens? You can immediately start saving up to 25 cents per gallon on your fill ups. Now, that first time you fill up, you're going to get an additional 25 cents per gallon. So that could be 50 cents per gallon on your first fill up. No need to stop trying to save money. Start saving money on your gas right now with GetUpside. Get the GetUpside app and please use the promo code touchdown and you will get your gas and start saving on that immediately. I also have to let you guys know about McDonald's. Since 1965, now guarantee that's 4 years before I was born, and I know I'm telling on myself, they have been a staple in the community. I lived right behind one when I was in high school, and that was basically the meeting place for me and my friends. I love the fact that I now have a granddaughter, and I do the same thing with her that I did back then with my friends, and it's just that the quality has not changed at all. They have the greatest fries in the world. So this episode is brought to you by McDonald's, and I'm telling you right now, make sure that you use that unofficial community center and share with your family and friends all of the good, affordable food, as well as some good times at your friendly neighborhood McDonald's. And I got to let you know, I'm loving it. All right, fellas, there you go. I'm singing, doing jingles and all of that stuff, yeah, trying to get through it. So you don't expect, I do think, while Eric said that there can't be a surprise for a team that's been inconsistent, they either have the Rams number or they look like a different team and look like one of those teams that's ready to try to do something.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing with the 49ers is they have the talent. Like, they don't have, like, bad players. And I think that was the thing that was most concerning for not just myself, but Peacock and fans as well. Couldn't quite put our finger on what was going on with the 49ers. You know, when you watch the team, it's not a team that lacks talent or it lacks, I guess maybe coaching is the issue because they have all the talent. But, you know, You got the weapons all over the place, whether it's Debo, Kittle, you mentioned those guys, the running back, Elijah Mitchell, he's running well. Jimmy Garoppolo, this is like his eighth season in the NFL. Defensively, they have guys that make plays. You mentioned Bosa. They got all-pro Fred Warner. You got Jimmy Ward, but for whatever reason, weren't getting the results that they wanted. So everything came together just perfectly against the Rams. I think the issue is, can you count on the 49ers to have that type of game again? You know, they forced two turnovers on the first two drives. 49ers haven't been able to take the ball away all season. You know, the 49ers have kind of bit themselves in the butt with a bunch of penalties. I don't know if they had more than three penalties in that entire game. So everything that the 49ers needed to go right to be able to beat a team like the Rams, they had that happen. I don't know how consistent they'll be able to be with that. And that's one thing that I know myself, people that cover the 49ers and the fans are looking forward to seeing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Can they stack together back-to-back good games?
I want to talk a little bit about a subject that we actually covered on the Peacock and Williamson NFL show on Wednesday, and that was the rookie quarterbacks. And we sort of went back and re-ranked them and, you know, regraded and sort of redrafted how we thought we would take these quarterbacks now after we've seen them for half a season as pros. And we haven't had a chance to see a lot of Trey Lance. Kind of hoped earlier on in the season, this game in the schedule would be a fun one to say, okay, we get the rookie QBs. We get 1 and 3. We get Trevor Lawrence versus Trey Lance. It's not going to happen. Maybe get a little Trey Lance on the field, but it seems unlikely the way things are going right now. But talk to us about Trevor Lawrence. He's got the lowest PFF grade of all five of those first round quarterbacks, and then and thrown in Davis Mills too. And so I'm wondering what's going on with Trevor Lawrence. Why has there not been more wow plays? Even if there's been inconsistencies, and you would expect a rookie quarterback to be inconsistent and have good plays, have bad plays. I haven't seen as much wow as I expected from Trevor Lawrence, and there are some weapons there too. And so what's going on with Trevor Lawrence? How has he looked for you during his rookie season?
I've seen a lot of quarterbacks come in here. I saw Blaine Gabbert. I saw Blake Bortles. So you almost know what a kind of a bust looks like when you see it. That's not it. This dude is, he's playing a little hero ball right now. He's trying to will the team. He's trying to make some throws. He takes a lot of shots down the field. He wants to make plays. So I'd rather him not be captain checkdown and actually try to do some things and make some down the field back shoulder throws, because every now and then he makes one and you go, oh my God. And it's everything you ever thought about. But sometimes he gets to a little bit of a funk. And what happens is, in those games where they get behind, the Jaguars can actually run the ball really well. Early in the season, they weren't trying to run it when they should have been running it. Then when they got the run going, teams were just scoring on him and the defense wasn't playing. So now you see him trying to play hero ball and do the things that a guy like him has always been able to do. He's really, really not as bad as those stats say.
And when you look at the 49ers offense and you see how Kyle Shanahan's utilizing Deebo Samuel, don't you look at the Jaguars offense and say, man, why can't we be doing that with Laviska Shenault?
I tweeted it the other night. Everyone wants to make the connection between Cordarrelle Patterson and Shenault. And I said Patterson's different because he's faster. And he was faster from the time. He's probably been faster than Shenault since he was in middle school, right? The thing is Deebo's a guy that you can scheme and do some things and move him around. It just seems like Shenault isn't as good as everybody thought. And what happened is DJ Chark went down. They actually drafted Travis Etienne to be sort of a guy that does some Alvin Kamara things, and he's not there. So what they have is they have a bunch of guys they can't separate. Their best separator is Jamal Agnew, who's a cornerback 3 years ago, and he's a kick returner. So they just – DJ Chark was their fastest guy. He was their sort of like the Alvin Harper type. Like, he doesn't do a whole bunch of things great, but he can do that nine route and that post route really well. Well, he's out for the year with a dislocated ankle, and now you have Marvin Jones Jr., who on a good team should be a solid veteran pass catcher at the number three spot, that, you know, that just that pro's pro. Well, now he's forced to be more than that, and it's just not working. And then they went on the waiver wire and got a tight end in Dan Arnold, and it's worked out okay, but they just didn't have a tight end on the roster who could really help Trevor out and be his dump off buddy. It's just that it's more or less it's been scheme and trying to make it seems like Darrell Bevell has been really trying to satisfy Urban Meyer and implement some of his college stuff. And he's probably better off being left alone.
What do we know about the CJ Henderson trade? Was there any news after the fact and maybe stuff leaked out? Because that seemed very quick to give up on a guy, and then you're spending other draft picks on corners. And was he really that bad? Did they just not like the personalities? What's going on there?
They didn't draft him. And CJ, I'm a pro players guy. I want guys to get their money, and I hate bad narratives being put out about people. One thing I don't like is when someone says somebody has a character issue. A character issue means you're fighting in the club and you're stabbing people, and you know, I don't think having a different personality is a bad character. Right. I don't think a guy has bad character because he's yoked differently. I don't think he has bad character because allegedly he may have what they classify as some mental health issues. And he's just built differently, man. And Urban Meyer wants that fire and brimstone I think he'd be better off with Percy Harvin knocking somebody out in practice or attempt, or the late great Aaron Hernandez around here allegedly killing people, as long as he shows up and he plays football, as opposed to being a guy you have to go wake up and say, come on, man, let's get it together. Some coaches just don't respond to guys like that. And that's the kind of guy CJ is. He's like, all right, you know, it's whatever. He might be satisfied knowing he's as good as anybody, but he don't give a damn about proving it.
I know what you're saying, though. I work with an oddball personality in Eric Crocker every day, so I know what it's like to have to try to put up with something like that. But you have to because of the talent, right?
Yeah.
No, man. Croc impressed me because I've been to Philly. He impressed me. Croc was in there going, you standing up to people, it's whatever. I'm like, I used to be bad too, man, but I ain't got time for all of that stuff these days.
I'm not bad. It's just, you know, I am from Stockton, California. So what they were doing was, I felt like they were trying me. You know, it was like fans, right? It was like people in my comments and mentions, because we went to the Rocky statue, took a picture, and all of a sudden people just started telling me what everybody's going to do to me. Oh, if you do that at the stadium, they're going to do this to you, do that to you. Okay, that's what they're going to do? Okay, well, we're going to have to find out then. And it's going to go one way or another. And I got my partner in crime with me, so we're going to find out. So that's what that was. I never go anywhere as like a troublemaker or anything like that. But, you know, I felt a little like it was almost like a challenge or something. So I had to see, and everything went smooth.
All right, man. Hey, man, it's been fun, man. It's really, really been fun. We thank you all for making this show your first listen. It's first time I talked to Peacock before. It's my first time ever with Eric. So we got to do this more often. I got to remind you, though, Peacock, you're going to love this, because you're going to hear what I do every day. Your second listen should be the Peacock and Williamson podcast, because Brian Peacock is a great NFL analyst and Matt Williamson is a former NFL scout. And what they do, they come together on what is the flagship show of the Locked On NFL Network, and they give it to you like you can't get it. So make sure you like, subscribe, follow on that free platform, just like this was a free platform. See, I say that every day, man. I say that every day, and you got it live, Peacock. How about that?
I love it. It sounds so good to my ears, and I appreciate the plug, man. And I always appreciate chatting with you, too. It's always fun talking ball.
Yeah, fun talking with you guys. I'll see you guys on Twitter. And once again, thanks for joining us on this crossover.